This is Beyond the Resume, the podcast that brings you the stories, advice, and insights behind some of the most successful people in real estate. Beyond the Resume is brought to you by Jackson Lucas Executive Search, the industry leader in human capital solutions. Here is Chris Papa and Lisa Flicker.
All right, Arturo Snyder, welcome to the podcast. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks so much for having me. Appreciate it.
You've been around the world in 80 days, you said. What have you been doing traveling around the world?
So, we've got a lot going on from our fund raise, as well as investors, investor meetings, projects. And then we're doing some modular construction, design work and fabrication. As we try to figure out how to build more housing at an affordable number. So it's become quite expensive to build housing that folks in our communities can afford. So we're trying to be creative about that. So a combination of lots of things, but happy to be back at our headquarters.
That's down in Culver City?
Yes, Culver City.
Nice. And then, so Primestor, am I pronouncing it right?
Primestor?
Yeah, Primestor. Primestor, you're the founding partner, established in 1991. Can you just give like an overview of the firm?
Yeah, Leandro Tyberg, my partner, and I have been working together under the Primestor name since 1991, 92. We started the firm really just as an experiment on activist sort of mindset, as we were both teenagers, both of us immigrants. Leandro's family, he was born in Argentina in a small town, and I'm from Mexico City.
Okay.
And for different...
Not a small town.
Not a small town at all. I think we have more population than... in our city than maybe the country of Argentina.
Oh, wow.
But we came out for different reasons, just, you know, looking for very different backgrounds, but a lot of challenges in our own country. So when we came to the U.S., we didn't have the sort of background context of these sort of neglected or underinvested communities and the reason for them and whatever. And it just didn't make sense that our communities were in pretty dire straits and not a lot of people investing in them. So we started a firm or a movement that was trying to understand and figure out how do we make change in the streets of our communities in South Los Angeles and East Los Angeles.
And how do, I mean, yeah, that's a big, I mean, I think it's awesome. I mean, it's amazing. It seems like a big deal, overhaul, like a big project. And I feel like a lot of people probably have those thoughts like, oh yeah, I would love to change this community. But you actually started making an impact. Like, how did you start?
So, you know, I moved here with the idea, because I was a teenager, that I loved cooking and I wanted to be a chef.
Mm-hmm.
And my brother had been a very small partner. They had like 10 or 20 partners in a very small gourmet kind of Mexican food restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
And I had already been training in Mexico City, just the basics. And so I worked there and I wanted to be a chef someday.
Mm-hmm.
And my colleagues in the kitchen, Ros, Armando, Hector, you know, Giovanni, many others, were kind of sharing their daily life story with me as we worked together. You know, you get to a restaurant super early and you're kind of playing music and you're prepping and stuff. And those stories were pretty intense, pretty heartbreaking, and just impressed me, the courage and the vision that they all had. But also their lives really, in some ways, didn't get any better at all, and some worse. We had a lot of strength in the gang movement in LA at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And young boys were, and, you know, more than girls now, which that has changed a bit, but more, you know, boys were getting really pulled into or lured into the gang life, and that really hurt their lives. And families that didn't have kids, found themselves, you know, one or two people in the family, really not spending any time together, working three jobs, trying to make ends meet, very cramped conditions, et cetera. So all of that slowly started really building a thought in my mind. And at the time I was dating Leandro's sister.
Uh-oh, did he know about that?
Yeah, okay. We were very close.
Okay.
Yeah, we ended up being partners in business for a long time. But her father had started, you know, with as he also came to the U.S. with no money at all as an immigrant and started slowly just buying what he could from his business. He was in the clothing business.
Mm-hmm.
And buying sort of old brick buildings in these neighborhoods where they were affordable, where you could, you know, at least buy an asset. And as I started visiting those properties, those things sort of came together in my mind, you know, those neighborhoods, and something could be done there. But then I also met a young woman who was running for LA City Council,
mm-hmm.
And she became the first Latina elected to the city council. And she planted in me the seed that we shouldn't be asking what are others going to do for us, mm-hmm. but how are we as a community going to move ourselves forward? So I volunteered for her campaign at the time. And all of that led to the next, to the next, to the next, until we had the Rodney King civil unrest in 1992
mm-hmm.
in LA, where a lot of buildings burnt down, a lot of violence happened. I was still working at the restaurant, and one of Leandro's dad's building burnt down to the ground. And I was doing sort of outreach and trying to understand the neighborhood where all this was going on, and connected with the LA County Office of Education. And they were doing a program called Rebuild LA, which was really trying to understand the damage,
mm-hmm.
what was going to be needed to bring the city back and where. And that connection led to us getting a grant to rebuild as long as the land was put into the venture, which is tiny, tiny little property, like 6,000-7,000 square feet. They would fund the construction of a Head Start school.
Okay.
68th and Western in South LA. And that changed our lives because we realized the power of real estate and the impact that it has on built environment and community. And I think the rest is history.
Wow, that's awesome. And so what does the firm look like now?
So today we have a bit over 50 people. We do asset management, property management, development, leasing, all of it in-house, all the entitlement work, the community outreach in-house. We are approximating $1 billion of assets under management, and we have our own discretionary commingled fund with institutional partners as we continue to grow the business. We do mixed-use urban infill work
mm-hmm.
with an emphasis on local economic development, so local hiring, et cetera. So that's where we're at today. Leandro, of course, and I are still the founding partners and we really work very, very well together.
And then is it some of it capital A affordable with subsidies as well, or is it mixed, or is it naturally occurring if affordable?
So all of the above. We're very big proponents on the fact that mixed income is the way that we're going to see ourselves move forward, because when you talk about capital A affordable in our communities, mm-hmm. you get a lot of pushback from a lot of community members that say we've come so far so well.
Right.
And we want to see, you know, other types of housing in our neighborhood. And then at the same time, you get the pushback of gentrification discussion.
Mm-hmm.
But the gentrification, you know, capital G, is more of an urban planner kind of a discussion. When you talk, we get all of our data from our own communities.
Mm-hmm.
We basically develop what they tell us that they would want to see there. And we kind of co-educate each other with what's feasible. And they want to see the broad range of housing because they don't want to bear the brunt of all capital A affordable housing coming into neighborhoods. Otherwise, you're basically rebuilding project areas that we've been working so hard to get rid of.
Uh-huh. And then you said you're looking at modular. I was just at ULI in Las Vegas on the Affordable and Workforce Council, and we looked at a modular factory. I don't know obviously much about it, but it seems what I was getting a sense is it's harder to do in urban areas, right? Just like to fit things in, right? Into between put,
yeah,
and like power lines and all that jazz. Like how feasible is the modular construction for LA?
So, you know, we're deep into it. And the modular construction, I think, is essential to the future of housing production. But think of it this way, we're somewhere in between the BlackBerry and the Razer Motorola phone.
Right.
Where most people now are using Samsung, Android, and iPhone. So we are testing and trying and developing technologies and manufacturing processes and things of that nature. And I think we'll be announcing fairly soon, I'd say in the next 30 days or so, a product that I believe is sort of like the iPhone was to BlackBerry. After a few years of working on this. And our director of development, David Abasta, was at ULI in Vegas as well. He's very involved in that organization. A lot of questions that he was getting is like, hey, when are you going to talk to us about what you're doing? So we're getting fairly close to doing that. And our first project will be a 390-unit mixed-income, seven-story modular.
Wow. Where is that going to be?
That's in the city of Norwalk. Right on
Connecticut
5 freeway.
No,
Norwalk, California.
Oh, I don't know where that is.
It's basically, 50-yard line between downtown LA and Anaheim.
Okay.
On the 5 freeway. It isn't very well known because it's been a somewhat of an anti-development city for a long time, but the demographics have changed dramatically over the years. And because of the 5 freeway reconstruction and redesign, it sat in the middle of chaos for a long time until they have now the circulation clarity for us to build projects that make sense with traffic design.
Right. And then do you provide services to like community services around some of these properties as well?
Yeah, I mean, I think sometimes I don't know if we're a developer, an operator, a community organizer.
Right. I mean, it could be all of the above.
And we are, yeah. I think, if the word facilitator makes sense, that's what we are. We facilitate through relationships, experience, and contacts a community's wants and needs. In all of their forms. So in terms of programming, our marketing team does 300-400 events a year. We do job fairs, we do health fairs. We're very, very hands-on.
Wow. I love it. How did you learn? You were in the restaurant business, you didn't have any of this background. You just kind of learned as you went, or how did you pick this stuff up?
I'm learning as we're going.
Yeah.
So no, I didn't have any training. I didn't go to college either. You just have, it was a full-time commitment to build a business that would change things. So, you're a teenager, you've got a lot of drive and a lot of naivete. You make 100 mistakes a week. I didn't know what the hell I was doing, but I knew that it felt right. And the community was very supportive and very, I think they were our partners in figuring things out as we went.
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, one of the two principles of Prime Store are humility and curiosity. Those are the two things that drive our firm. That's the culture, heart, and soul. And so today we operate with that, and with curiosity you sort of keep growing and growing, and with humility you learn. And that's been the principle of the firm.
So cool. And are you focused still in the LA area?
Right now we've got, I think about $3 billion worth of entitlement projects in the works in LA County. And then we do operate in Nevada, in Arizona. We've done projects in Chicago. We've been in Texas, with Florida. I think that we will be very focused in Southern California for the next 4 or 5 years, almost exclusively, just given the amount of stuff that we've got. And also because of the construction and development of the transportation system, the metro, light rail, subway that's going on. We're doing a lot of work with them and building housing along the transit line. But we will expand over the next decade into some of the markets we've been in before.
Where in Texas are you?
So we've done projects in Houston and in Austin. Right now, what we're realizing is that with the growth of those markets, we have some of the issues we saw here, right? Which is sort of people getting priced out of their communities and moving into some of the suburbs and smaller cities and towns around. And we think there's some significant opportunity there.
My family lives in Houston, so always curious.
Yeah, I have quite a bit of family out there.
Oh, yeah? You should come over for Thanksgiving.
Yeah. Exactly.
Well, I'd love to meet you in person. I love what you're doing. It's kind of been a dream of mine to do something like that, but I've never actually, so far, I've just got the podcast. But if you ever make...
They say, be careful what you wish for.
Sure. But if you make it to NorCal, you know, let me know. We got some projects.
We just did we just bought a property in Richmond.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
We see there also some of the historical disconnects that we've seen in the past where the community has shifted and changed, and perhaps, you know, absentee owners or long-term owners haven't been paying attention closely to that reality. So we think there's some opportunity there. And typically when we do a deal of a certain size in a market, it means we're going to do others.
Well, let me know if you make it up here. We interviewed the woman who runs, I think, community development for Richmond. I can't think of her name off the top of my head.
Yeah, we were with them recently, and she was in the meeting. I have her business card. Recently, we met with the mayor and the development director and the econ folks and planning, et cetera, to talk about our project. It's a Hilltop Plaza, which is right on the highway and park and what's it called, Richmond Highway, or
not sure.
Yeah. So it's a very big opportunity for us to connect with the Latino and Black communities up there.
Awesome. Well, it's time for you. You have a great story. I love what you're doing. I'd love to, you know, work with you on at some point. Like to even just introduce you to, you know, people up here. If you need those introductions, you know, Julio people don't think Julio's real, but he is. His day job is he works for Mission Housing as their head of communications. So,
Amazing. Yeah, no, we want to expand definitely in the Central Valley and NorCal. Our mandate from our capital, you know, one of the biggest challenges has always been the capital has not been present in our communities, and much less under the guidance of minorities and immigrants.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have been fighting that fight for 20 years. And as we started getting the attention of large scale pension funds, and now they're our partners, and they're really saying, look, you know, let's roll this out. Let's make something happen in a bigger scale. So we're definitely focused on our growth.
Awesome. Well, Arturo, you've now entered a part of the podcast, which we call The Hot Seat. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Oh! You sure? I know SoCal can be hot, but this is going to be much hotter.
All right, we're going to Vegas in the summer.
Oh, yeah, the worst. Question number one, do you have a book or podcast recommendation?
Oh, I'm a book fanatic.
Yeah?
I'm book obsessed. So I would probably have thousands of books. It depends on the subject or the interest. I love, of course, all of the classics in Russian, European literature, anything Haruki Murakami writes, I love.
Mm-hmm.
But the must read books for me just in life in general are 100 Years of Solitude.
Okay. Never made it through it, but I've
Gabriel Garcia Marquez. Yeah. I don't know if it could be made sense in any other language than in Spanish. And then of course, Leo Tolstoy's Anna Karenina.
All right. Yeah. It's hard. I don't speak. I only read in English. So, doesn't he?
Well, Milan Kundera, right? Who's a Czech author, famous for the unbearable lightness of
peace, yes.
But there's a lot more out there. In English, he translates extremely well.
I've read that one.
Yeah.
Number two, what has been your most memorable deal?
Well, my most memorable deal is actually one that didn't go well. And that's, because memorable can be good or bad. So, we worked in a very large project in Chicago during Richard Daley's tenure as mayor, his last tenure as mayor. And the city decided at that time to have a battle with the unions over big boxes, and a national debate ensued and out of Chicago that actually ended up in terminating Daley's career as mayor after being an empire, basically.
Wow. Yeah.
And we were in the heart of it. We were primetime news having that debate. The project got built after years and years of struggle. It's called Marshfield Plaza in South Chicago. But by far the most memorable.
Any of that stuff recorded? Any of those debates on TV or YouTube now?
Oh, yeah, no, for sure. It was called the Big Box Ordinance. And we were there, primetime news, and there was a whole debate over Target and Home Depot and Walmart and just absolute insanity. It was actually the first time in Richard Daley's career, political career, that something that he publicly opposed, the aldermen voted in favor.
Oh, wow, yeah.
So very famous, lots of material, I'm sure, online and in the web.
Awesome. And you said that you have about 50 people in the company now. What do you look for in when you're hiring someone?
You know, number one, I think, is humility and curiosity. As I mentioned, those are things that we're super, super focused on. So somebody that understands the balance between ambition and humility. Because sometimes people think that you need one or the other. Passion, for sure. You know, we do work that is extremely, extremely hard. And if you don't have passion in the process, right? Because attachment to the outcome is always a painful process, but you got to know what you're getting into. We look for that as the main drivers. People that have a lot of depth of experience in the community we serve and can understand the wide range of realities that exist in these communities. I would say those are the main things we focus on.
They're inspiring me. I love this. Now, we all know that no one does this life, business, any of this stuff alone. Which mentors have had the most impact upon you?
Well, Gloria Molina, for sure. I mean, she rests in peace. She was a force of nature, councilwoman, county supervisor, activist, and really a driver. You know, I think Leandro's father was a very, very big influence on me because he wanted to, you know, buy properties in these communities and make them better. He just, you know, didn't have the background, and he was focused in a variety of things, but I learned a lot from him. And Andrew Cheung, who is the CEO of Panda Express.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Himself, a Chinese immigrant, who built an incredible business. I learned a tremendous amount from him as well. And I have to say our senator, Alex Padilla, who graduated MIT on a scholarship from, you know, immigrant parents and came back to be council member and now is the senior senator in Washington, D.C. for California.
Oh, wow. We had, I saw Julio's ears perk up when you said Panda Express, so.
yeah, we helped them actually open in Mexico. The Panda organization asked me and hired me to help them grow. That was their first international expansion. We worked together to sort of get that going.
Well, Arturo Snyder, you've been around the world, and now you're on the podcast. Really, really appreciate you coming on here. Thank you for everything you're doing. You're an inspiration to me. And look forward to meeting you in person.
Thank you so much. Appreciate your interest and the work that you do. It's important to communicate in our industry. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Beyond the Resume, a Jackson Lucas podcast where we take a deep dive into the career journeys of some of the top minds in real estate and equip you with the knowledge to move forward in your path towards the success you've envisioned. Make sure to like, share, and subscribe to Beyond the Resume. Be grateful for your support. All episodes of Beyond the Resume are brought to you by Jackson Lucas, building inclusive and diverse businesses through talent acquisition. Visit us at jacksonlucas.com.